Welcome to the Godcast with Benjamin Shelby. It is my goal through this episode to show you how the Bible is not only accessible to you, applicable to your life, but also attainable and not so far out there, and you can do everything that God tells you to do. So I hope you enjoy this episode as we are looking into the Bible, and I pray that you can not only hear the words, but apply it to your everyday life and allow God to work in miraculous ways. Welcome back, guys. Now that I'm done with Malachi, I asked on Instagram if anybody had any ideas or something that I should do next, and I was surprised when somebody said that I should talk about how to know you're saved and how to be saved, because I thought I already did that. Like, I thought I had an entire episode already dedicated to it, which I kind of did, but it was never, like, centered around how to be saved. It said God can save you, but not centered around how to be saved. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to talk about why we need to be saved, which is also another important thing to know. So I don't have a whole bunch of time today, but let's just get started, get right into it after we pray. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, God, and thank you for how wonderful you are to me and how you saved me and how there's no promise that you've given to me and anything you've done for me that you won't do to anybody else that's listening, God. And I thank you for how wonderful you are, and just I know I say that a lot, but you are wonderful to me. And to everybody who allows you to be wonderful to them, God. And I just thank you for everything you are and everything you do. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. Okay. There's 4 points here. 4 points. Now, the first point I have is the sin debt. This is the base of why we need to be saved. If you don't understand that you have a sin problem, then you cannot be saved. That's impossible. Okay? Because... Well, I'll say why in a little bit, but let's just get some scripture out, and then we can figure out how we are all sinners. In Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death," Romans 6:23 says. "Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Okay, so we see three things in these three different verses. That last verse, by the way, was Romans 5:12. These three verses in Romans, we see three different things. One, all have sinned. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And if you remember, now there's a wage. Now, what does that word wage mean for some younger listeners? Well, wage is like what you get from your doings, okay? Just like if you go to a job and you work, then you get a wage. You get a payment for what you've done. Now, this is the same way with sin, but our wage for our sin because of what we've done is death. That's what it is. So first, we all have sinned. Second, sin has a price, and that price is death. And that is not just death here on earth. That death is an eternal death, a suffering in a very real place called hell, burning for eternity. And you never will die. If you want to hear more about hell and what it's like, I think it's like my third episode talks about it extensively. So, but then there's that third thing in the third verse that I read, and it said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." That kind of goes with the first thing, that all have sinned, but it breaks it down on why people sin. The first person sinned, right? And now genetically, I am a sinner. I know I sinned. And that sin separates us from God. Sin brings death. Now, there's something else we have to realize, is the pardon of sin always, 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 always has had to be death. Romans 9:22 says, without death or without blood, there is no remission. There's no remission for sin without blood. Okay? Ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve first sinned, the first man and woman to ever sin, God shed the blood of a lamb and covered their sins with the lamb. The wages of sin is death. So that means the only thing that can pay for sin is death. So back in the Old Testament, there would be a pardon, but there was a problem with this pardon. They were just animals. It'd have to be a lamb without blemish, no broken bones, depending on the sin that you did or the thing that you've done. Then it would depend on how the specific sacrifice would do. But yeah, the thing is, every time you'd sin, you'd have to make an offering. Why? Because the old blood could not suffice. Okay? In Hebrews 10:4, it says the blood of bulls and goats are not enough to cover sins. That's paraphrasing here because I don't have enough time to go read. But if you want to go read that, it's Hebrews 10:4. We needed a better sacrifice. Man has dug himself a hole. Man cannot get out of the hole. Man needs death to pay for sin because that's the wages of sin. And if they didn't do these sacrifices, then the wages of sin would still be death, but it'd be their own death. But there was a problem. The death of these animals was not enough, and God saw that. And he said, I have something for you. Okay? Now this is where Jesus Christ comes in. Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, came and was born of a virgin. Why? He led an entirely pure, sinless life. Why? Because he, the sinless one, the God who created you, who created me, is the only one whose blood could suffice for God's payment. Not only did Jesus Christ die on the cross, okay? He was beaten, he was mauled, he was torn up. Not only did he die for our sins, but he died so that we don't have to pay the wage of death. He was so perfect. His blood was so perfect that it could clean not only us on here on earth, every single person on earth, but it also sufficed God's anger. When Jesus Christ died, all of God's anger, all of God's wrath, everything that sin brings to God was put on Jesus. Why? Because he was the only one. He knew that he was the only one that could save us. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to find what I'm talking about here. John chapter 10, verse number 17. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Listen to this. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This is the commandment that I have received from my Father. You know what? Jesus had a choice. He had a choice to do what he did. And he chose to die for our sins. No man took his life from him. People say, well, Jesus maybe didn't have a choice in the matter. No, he had a choice. And his choice was, I love these people so much. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's me, that's you. You can put your own name in there. For God so loved blank, Benjamin Shelby, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son. Now, the word begotten is very important here, and we'll say why later. But he sent his only begotten son to come and to be mauled and to be torn, to live a sinless life, to have done nothing wrong. He has done nothing wrong. But yet God chose to come down, to be manifested in flesh, that he could go on the cross and die. Why? Because he loves us. But Jesus didn't stay dead. If you noticed in here, it says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, talking about his life here, and I have power to take it again. Christ died for our sins. Then he rose again to conquer death. To conquer death. To show that death does not have hold on God. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, it says, for I have delivered unto you first of all which I have received. Now, I can say that about myself. I am here and I'm giving you exactly what I have received. I'm not telling you anything that I haven't already believed and that hasn't changed my life. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And listen to this. He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Listen, Jesus didn't stay dead. Death has no power over God unless he lays his life down. Okay, so keep that in mind, that Jesus rose again. He's alive right now and he ascended into heaven. Why? So that we can believe. Let's keep reading. Now there's a new everlasting pardon. There's a new everlasting pardon. Before, the old pardon was all of the lambs and the goats and the bulls and the doves and the turtles. All those old things, they couldn't suffice God's anger. But now that he bore our sins on the cross, now that he has died and rose again, showing that death has no power, sin has no power over God. Now that all of this has happened, we have an everlasting pardon. It's not just a temporary pardon. Jesus Christ only had to die one time. One time. And that one time was enough to save us all from our sins. In Romans 10:9, it says, if thou shalt believe with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe it, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You have to believe this stuff. Now the question is, the final question, how do I get saved? Now you know that Jesus came down. You understand the old pardon. You understand how Jesus came and he was the better pardon. He was the better sacrifice, as Hebrews says. He was the one we needed. But now how does God save us? Simple. You remember earlier, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says, right? That's only the beginning part of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, it says. But the gift, that's an important word there. You have to understand the gift. Because a lot of people think that it's, we have to work for it. We have to earn it, right? But you cannot earn a gift. If you earn a gift, then it's a payment. Then he owes you it. But God doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't have to give us anything. But it is a gift. It's a free gift. And God has this free gift out. Now, what's the free gift, you might say? The free gift, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is salvation in a verse. The gift of God is that you believe on his son, that you believe that you're a sinner, you're wicked, you can't get to heaven on your own. That's the way you get to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. A lot of people want to get to heaven. The Jews, they want to get to heaven without believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They're not going to heaven. You have to believe that he came down, that he saved us. How? By dying on the cross, by rising again in the third day according to the scriptures. And God has this gift out. God has this gift of eternal life, that if we believe that only Jesus and through Jesus alone, that we can get to heaven, that and that God can save us from our sins, only through Jesus. If you believe that, you take the gift. But it's your choice to take the gift. You know, let's say I get somebody some sort of birthday present, okay? It's their choice to take the gift. But if they refuse the gift, is that my fault? Is that my fault that they refused the gift? The answer to that question is no, it's not my fault. If they refuse the gift, then they don't get the gift. A lot of people say, well, if God is such a loving God, why would he send us all to hell? Why would he send the people that don't believe in him to hell? Simple. We were just reading in John 3:16, right? Well, the next couple of verses, it says how the Son of Man came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You are already condemned if you believe not. It says if you don't believe in God, you're already condemned. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world. Jesus Christ didn't come to send you to hell. He came to save you out of the mess you got yourself in by sin. That's how to be saved. A lot of people try to muddy up the waters of salvation. It's not muddy. It's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. That is scripture. That is how you're saved. And that is how you get saved, not only eternally, not only by the eternal standards, but by today. Today, guess what? Today, I'm not owned by anything. I'm not owned by any sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me from my sin here. He forgave me for everything I've done, and he's given me life to be able to do those things. Jesus Christ can save you. The question is, will you let him? Will you accept this free gift that I have received? Guys, again, I'm not selling you anything that I have not first received. I'm not selling you anything at all. It's a gift. But I'm not telling you any of this in vain. I'm only telling you this so that you can get the hope that I have, the joy that I have, the peace that I have. Everything that I have is guaranteed to you if you do the same thing. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You believe that he's the Son of God. You believe that he's risen again, and he, and him alone, and through his blood, you can be saved. It's beautiful. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.